people that have lived in the land, for them is sad to have to go and live in the city because they love where they come from. But it's a succession of bad harvest, not able to have financial way to get the farm again going, because you still have to, even if you work, say, for example, for free for the farm, get it going.
Yeah.
You kind of need things to get started.
You need
and
capital.
And so this is the no way out land, because when you run out of money, you run out. Like, you have to sell the land, and people like it. And it's heartbreaking.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Mapa Forward's workshop, It's Time to Become a Coffee Consultant. Learn how to diversify your revenue streams and create freedom from your day job while saying goodbye to that alarm clock forever by becoming a consultant within the coffee industry or directly to consumers who have shifted towards home brewing and home roasting. Protect your income from challenging times in the coffee value chain by taking this course today. Go to mapaforward.coffee/workshops or click the link in the show notes for details. Welcome to the Daily Coffee Pro by Mapa Forward, friends. I'm your host, Lee Safar, and this is episode one of a very important brand new series, a five-part series. And in this series, we are talking about a very new technology in coffee production. Joining me for this series is Angela del Pilar Barrera Bernal. And Angela is a coffee producer in Colombia from Bodega de la Finca. Did I get all of that right, Angela?
Perfect.
Excellent. Welcome to the podcast for the first time, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you, Lee, for bringing me here. I feel this is a miracle, being able to be here with you.
I think the person who deserves the thanks here is you. You and I got connected when you sent me a LinkedIn message and you were telling me about this thing that you have taken 10 years to figure out. So over this series, we're going to talk, folks, about something called biochar. And we're going to tell the story of how Angela came to understand biochar and you discovered it, you figured it out. I mean, there's a few people who are doing it around the world, but you went through a unique process to get there, right?
Yeah, it was by
accident.
An Eureka moment. We were solving other things, so we burned things out and end up that was a carbon.
Perfect.
And we solved a big problem.
Great. So. And we're going to tell that story over the span of these five episodes. But we're also going to talk about the relationship between palm oil and coffee and how that plays into the story of biochar. Where we're going to start the discussion is, first of all, you're going to tell people very briefly who you are, what you do, and, you know, I say Angela's a coffee producer. No, she's not just a coffee producer. It's much deeper than that. You've got a finance background. You work in ag, all of the stuff. So why don't you tell people who you are and what you do, Angela?
So I studied finances in the university, and I began working for a consulting company, with the BCP plan in major telecommunication companies, an electric company.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that for a decade. And I was in charge of like the whole ground thing, the whole getting the consultants in the ground and like where we're gonna stay and like, so I had to meet too many people in the communication companies,
mm-hmm.
and kind of grasp how technology evolves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can buy something now, a technology new, in 2 years that technology is obsolete.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I worked in that at the beginning. Then I was a mom, mm-hmm. and I was pursuing like to have more time with my family. So I changed and I went to work for the agricultural sector in an opportunity a company gave me because they wanted to get the finances solved. So they kind of teach me the palm oil, which I'm so grateful. And I worked for them for another decade. And with that company, I think I had the biggest challenge in my professional life.
Wow.
Because the farm, we were renovating the farm. Palm oil, you can harvest it like for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And then you have to renew it. And these renewals are not very, like, they are very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And we planned the whole renewal with the owners and like the board, and things went bad, like after being so taking everything into account and like doing all the preparation, we screwed and they got a disease called Phytophthora. And
we're going to tell that story. We're going to tell the story of that in the next episode. We're going to tell the full story of that. So let's keep the story of the Phytophthora.
It was like a non way out.
Right.
And we got the way out.
We got the way out.
Then I found for me, this was some moment where I thought we discovered
mm-hmm.
a way that can help any bad land to get
any agricultural product, any plant, you've found a way to regenerate it.
Yeah. And so because people say the problem with farming is land. Like you have good mm-hmm. land and you have bad land, so bad soil. And so people tend to buy good land. And then they are this marginal other, and like people are in poverty. So I began pursuing from that being an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And my own family had a farm that was No Way Out farm. In the same situation for
what does that mean? A no way out farm.
It's a farm like you love because you born there, your family was raised up there, like you mm-hmm. grow picking up fruits and like loving the
land.
Land is like so connected to people.
Mm-hmm.
People that have lived in the land, for them is sad. To have to go and live in the city because they love where they come from. But it's a succession of bad harvests, not right. able to have financial way to get the farm again going because you still have to, even if you work, say, for example, for free for the farm, get it going.
Yeah.
You kind of need things to get started.
You need capital.
And so this is the No Way Out land because when you run out of money, you run out. Like you have to sell the land and people like it. And it's heartbreaking also. Like and it's emotionally.
There are a lot of producers that listen to this that can absolutely identify with what you're saying. There are a lot of producers that listen to this podcast that know what it was like to be there and found a way out.
Yeah.
But your story took a twist when you had a problem that you needed to solve on your land, right? You were told that it was no longer viable.
No longer. No longer. And
why?
My because climate change, it made so different to grow coffee in my area. So in my area, we already have the three degrees more heat wave.
Right.
And not only 3 degrees. In this El Nino event, we have this drought and we have thermometer, mm-hmm. we mark 55 degrees on the ground, like at the beginning, people wouldn't believe me. So there was a journalist that came to see if what I was saying was true, because I posted that on LinkedIn. And they say this was happening also in Vietnam. So this journalist came and she measured with me, like she said, oh my God. Well, so the temperatures in the soil are brutal.
And just to help people understand why this 3 degrees is important. We recently had a climatologist on the podcast that said to us that the coffee has a very small sweet spot. So if it's growing somewhere, if the temperature goes above 2 degrees, between 2 and 3 degrees above its sweet spot, the coffee stops growing. So if climate increases in a microclimate by more than 3 degrees, the coffee stops growing. It kills the plants. And that if that's a permanent shift, coffee's not going to be able to be grown there anymore by what people think at the moment. But Angela, you have found something different because you were told that coffee will never be able to grow on that land again, right?
Yeah, no. So they told us we have to change to another, to farm another thing. So that is also complicated to a family that has been 50 years growing coffee. And my father did, like the last effort he did was let's grow cacao because they told him cacao can go in this weather because it's hotter. And so he did that an like a pilot. So he planted a clonal garden. A clonal garden is to bring some genetics and to plant them in an area just to see how they grow. And, yeah, to see. Because that growing cacao is expensive than coffee.
More expensive than coffee.
Yeah, it gets you 5 years to get the first harvest. So it's so expensive. So this is not a decision you make like a Kit Kat bar you buy. No, this is something you have to sit down and like
plan and
find the money. Because you have to pay that 5 years waiting. In coffee is 2 years, but the third harvest is the best one.
Yeah.
So it's complicated.
So
farming is complicated.
So you have this land, you've been working in the corporate world by that time, then you have this land that your family has had for 50 years. You, because of climate shifting, you find that the coffee's not growing and people told you have to change to a different agricultural product. But by this time, you have experience in palm oil that makes you think about things very differently, right?
Yeah, it blew my mind off. So it's like something, you know, it works, but nobody believes.
Okay.
But it worked.
It does work. And folks, I hate to do this to you, but you have to find out what it is in the next episode. In the next episode, we're going to talk about the relationship between palm oil and coffee and how it led to what is called biochar. And I'm telling you, this story is well worth you sticking around for because I met Angela yesterday and I said to her, we have to record this immediately and we have to get it out. People need to hear about this immediately. So join us for the next episode. Peace, love, and peanut butter. Have an amazing rest of your day. I really hope you enjoyed this episode, friends. Please don't forget to show us some love by subscribing, liking, commenting, and most of all, sharing this podcast with your friends. Check the show notes for links, including our sponsors and our Patreon. And stay tuned for more great conversations on The Daily Coffee Pro by Mapper Forward.